Kathy, Amy sat in for you.
I know
week.
It's been a long. This is sort of a reunion for us because you were with Amy, and then we were off, right?
No,
or we were off, and then you were on with Amy, and here we are. And then next week we're off again for Northwestern football, but that's the last time,
right?
Yeah, that won't happen again until next fall.
Yeah,
assuming we're still here.
That was kind of change in leadership
and ownership of the building and everything else. So one never knows, but.
Right? There's a gallery in this building that's been there for 20 years. I think it's over on the other side.
A gallery of what?
Art.
Really? In the Tribune Tower?
I heard a report that they were having to close.
Well, you haven't seen it? You haven't seen it? You just heard a report.
I heard a report.
You've never seen the gallery.
Where's the gallery in Tribune Tower?
It's north of us.
I have no idea.
There's a gallery over on the other side of Grand Avenue.
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Did I ever tell you my story about what happened at that gallery?
No.
Years ago, 15 years ago, I had gone out to dinner with a friend and had a doggy bag, you know, packed up in a plastic bag. Mm-hmm. And on the way to wherever
this would be before you had your dog.
Yes.
But just in case your dog came along.
Right.
Okay, 15 years, not bad.
We were walking north on Michigan Avenue and decided to stop into that gallery, whatever the name of it is. And so we were looking at stuff, and that was when I was buying art. I mean, I had a couple years there where I was like an art whore. And we were buying art, and I can't even remember how it happened. I turned or somebody bumped into me, and the bag with the food in it dropped on the oriental rug and sort of splattered.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what kind of food it was?
I do
was
not.
It like spaghetti?
I just remember that within seconds, somebody had walked to the front door and locked it.
Oh, distraction.
Exactly. That apparently that is what people do when they're going to steal art, is cause a distraction. One person causes the distraction and the other person lifts the piece of art. And I just thought that was fascinating. I felt terrible. I mean, I said, well, here, let me clean this up. No. We got this. And we couldn't get out of there fast enough, but that's my art gallery story. That's a little detour, sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. So if I were in a heist,
mm-hmm.
I can tell you that I would be really nervous.
Oh, I would be terrible.
And I wonder if heisters actually get nervous. They never allow for that much in heist movies. But the reason I'm talking about being nervous is Mary Schmeek wrote an amazing, for me, but I think for a lot of our listeners, an amazingly on-target column. It was on the 11th of October. And she was talking about, she called it Trump anxiety, but it's really election anxiety, because I think people on either side are very anxious about the fact that the person that they don't want to be president could be president. And these are some of the
either
symptoms.
Side.
Either,
right.
I,
either
yeah,
side.
I'm
right.
sure. These are some of the signs, telltale signs. Do you have trouble sleeping after a presidential debate? Are you upset, maybe even furious, at friends or relatives who don't plan to vote like you? Are you afraid to ask certain people how they plan to vote because you're afraid of ruining a relationship? And do you spend pointless amounts of time following political news, engaging in political arguments on social media, or maniacally unfriending people with different viewpoints? I have to say that I am so anxious about this election that I wake up every morning with my stomach in knots, and that I do spend pointless gallons of time devouring presidential election stuff. Waking up in the morning and just kind of going, now what? And that could be now what for, you know, bad things about Trump, and now what if people are saying bad things about Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
Do you experience any of this?
I actually, I I experienced less of it this election than I did. We were on the air in Bush's second term, before Bush's second term, when he was running against Al Gore. Remember that? And then it took a while to finally figure
Chad
out.
Land.
And I remember the morning after it was determined that the Supreme Court determined that Bush won that election. And I remember at that time, we were talking to girlfriends about it on the air and saying, we'll survive this. We will survive this. This country has survived bad presidents and good presidents, and we'll survive this. But I was so shocked because I didn't think he would win a second term. So that was a real disappointment for me. Huh?
He didn't. I mean,
Bush did.
Al Gore got kind of screwed in Florida.
Right, but Al Gore never had a first term.
No.
Right. Bush had a first term and a second term. And on this one, I am much... And please call us, 312-981-7200. And we don't want to hear your politics, right?
No, I don't care if you're supporting Trump or you're supporting Hillary Clinton.
Right.
But if you can identify with some of these symptoms...
Anxiety symptoms.
Or if you have other symptoms, it would be interesting to know that we're not alone and crazy.
Right. And I am not that nervous about this election, about the outcome of this election. But I don't know if I will have the balls to watch the debate. I don't know if I have that in me. I did the last one, start to finish, but I'm not sure I can watch another one.
I would not miss it.
Okay. So
really?
312-981-7200. Call us or text us. Election anxiety.
If you're a wreck. Kathy and Judy back, and we are talking about election anxiety that you may be experiencing. I'm a mess. This is Pat. Pat, oh. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Oh, my God, you guys. It was like, how did you know me? My whole list. You had me on the whole darn list.
Anxiety, election anxiety.
Oh, my God. I don't sleep at night. All I would do is worry about it. I watch four different news channels on TV all day long.
What
I
for?
I call my girlfriend. Well, I watch MSNBC.
Uh-huh.
I watch CNN.
Uh-huh.
I even watch the Trump News. I'm sorry, Fox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I just watch them all. And I catch all the daily news at night, and then I listen to WGN. I'm crazy.
How are you sleeping?
Not well.
Yeah.
Not it's, well.
It is hard.
And I tape them all. And
oh
my friends.
God. You tape them in case you miss them.
Yes.
Because you're not anxious enough.
Right.
Okay.
Are you having election dreams?
Yes.
Really?
I have fear. I just see that orange face, that white, that
okay,
horse
we're
hair.
Not getting
we're not
into
talking
your politics.
We're not getting...
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go there.
Okay. Well, we already got it.
Yeah. And you know what else? I have a cousin in another country, and she says she's lived there for 30 years, and she says everyone points to her and says, oh, that crazy American.
I know.
And she says, I have to leave my house with a bag over my head. She goes, I just don't know what to do.
Yeah, I think people from abroad, they think America is crazy. I mean, not just, you know, one of the candidates. I mean, it's a lot. Well, thank you, Pat. We've got a couple more people on the line.
Okay,
breathe
Kato,
deep. That's all we can
all right.
do.
Okay.
And this is Rhonda. Hi, Rhonda.
Rhonda?
Remember you wanted to use Rhonda?
Yes.
You didn't want to use your name.
Yeah, I have awful anxiety.
How's it manifesting itself?
I can't. I'm always nervous. It's like I want to hear the polls, and then I don't want to hear the polls because I don't believe the polls. I think it's closer than what they're saying. I'm praying that it's not, but it's weird. It's like every Tuesday, like for the last, I don't know, 2-3 months,
uh-huh.
I wake up in the middle of the night at like 4 o'clock because I've been dreaming about this guy standing with a red tie, and it's like, it's an inauguration day, and I'm thinking this can't be happening. This
What's with Tuesday? Oh, Tuesday, because the election's on a Tuesday. So on Tuesdays at 4 in the morning, you wake up.
Right. And this has been happening like for the last 2 months. And I'm like, this is so weird. And it's like he's standing and it's inauguration day. And it's like, I got to get up. I got to check my phone, see what the actual date is. And I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah, it's not the 28th. It's the 8th.
Right.
No, I keep telling those people it's the 28th.
Oh, Rhonda, well, we hope you only have a few more Tuesdays to go through, and we'll see what happens, right?
I thought the first time when Obama ran that was stressful. This is nothing in comparison. Okay. I don't get why the polls aren't like 90.
Oh, well, 10. Don't start. Don't go down that road. Okay.
Right. We're all right, Rhonda, thanks.
In a fair way.
And one of our texters reminds me, and I'm terrible about this, that the second Bush victory was not over Al Gore. The first Bush victory was over Al Gore. The second Bush victory was over John Kerry.
That's right.
Yeah, duh.
Thank you, listeners.
Anyway, yes. This is Charlotte. Hi, Charlotte.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep you. I'll just make it short because I have to take my I have therapy every morning so I can walk. But I've been taking this like almost personal.
Yeah.
I have a lot of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just kind of putting everything in God's hands, but I am going to vote. I was not sure who I was going to vote for, but now I know I have to vote one way.
And okay, are you watching a lot of TV? And
No, honey, I don't watch no soap. I have an old TV, and I taped it on the VHS, you know, those tapes.
Uh-huh.
I have everything on tape. That's how bad I've gotten, and I've been neglecting my personal duties and my health and my diet that I'm supposed to be on. I'm diabetic now. And I've been just putting this first before everything else, and it's just consuming my time, you know. And that's why I'm glad to hear that there's other people, because that's not, you know, we should be concerned. And especially this election is, I would say, because of all the years I know, I went through Second World War with my parents and that. But this one is our religious liberties are at stake right now. And, you know, there's just so much more at stake right now. You know what I mean? That we have to be concerned.
Well, Charlotte, yeah. Although you said, and I'm using your words, you know, you're putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has proven himself to be quite the independent over the years.
Yes, you're right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But I have learned the issues, and I just try to share with people that I know they haven't bothered, and you know they're going to vote the same way, and they complain about, you know, what they're going through, but they're not doing anything about it.
This is like, in a way, the abortion issue, where one side cannot convince the other side. There's no middle ground, and you know the undecided voters are the ones who can make a real difference, and I wouldn't want to be one of them.
Anybody could be undecided at this point is beyond me.
What the hell are you waiting for?
If you
what?
Yeah,
what, I mean, you've been
what sign from the Lord Jesus Christ are you waiting for if you're undecided at this point?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Charlotte, thank
you. I understand that I know my mind is made up, and these other people are just as stubborn because they don't want to take the time to know the issues.
What do you think is the most important issue, Charlotte?
Hmm?
What do you think is the most important issue?
Most important is our liberties and maintaining our Constitution and have a president that's going to follow the founding fathers who, you know, were Judeo-Christian mostly people. And right now, you know what's the terror? ISIS is a big problem. And people they say, well, what's that? They don't even know what Benghazi is. They ask.
Okay, I'm not even going to guess who you're voting for, Charlotte. Okay, all right.
And so I get a little frustrated when I deal with people who don't know what's going on, and they're going to go vote, and then we all have to suffer because of ignorance. You know
okay,
I mean?
Well, Charlotte, I hope your therapy goes well, and I hope your walking goes well. And don't forget to vote
my age, you know,
on November 28th.
Yeah, we know when you're your age and our age.
Yeah.
Welcome to
the club. Kathy and Judy back. I've had a couple of incidents in the last several months that are trying to force me to decide if I have early dementia or if I'm just sort of ADHD.
It wouldn't be early.
It wouldn't be early. Good point.
I think you can rule out
right
early
on
dementia.
Schedule.
Right.
When I lived in Princeton, and I haven't lived there for a year, I always fed the birds, and I always fed the hummingbirds. And at one point, I think I had 6 hummingbird feeders, and so there were zillions of them. And when I made the hummingbird juice, I boiled it. You boil 4 cups of water and 1 cup of sugar,
mm-hmm.
and you bring it to a boil and let it cool. Well, there was more than one occasion when I would get that on the stove, you know, stir it up, and then go do something, and then remember it when the house was filling with smoke from it boiling down and the sugar beginning to, you know,
there goes
cause
that
smoke.
Pot.
Right. And I finally figured out that because the hummingbirds emptied the feeders in a day, I didn't even need to boil the water, that the water wasn't going to get all bacteria filled. So that solved that problem. But in the last, well, this happened a couple weeks ago. I had to get the plumber to rot out the kitchen sink drains, the food grinder thing.
The disposal.
The disposal. I am such an old lady. The disposal and the regular sink, because the water was backing up in the laundry tubs downstairs. And apparently the plumber forbade me from ever using the disposal again. Do not use the disposal. You know, always scrape food, put it in. He said he has had people with so much food in the pipes that it's clogged and they can't get through it.
You can never have a disposal in
he
your
said,
house?
He said, do not use the disposal.
Can
he
you
said,
get a new
so
one?
Much
will
crap
it help?
So much crap goes to... And Lou says this too. Lou, Mr. Fix-It says this too. Don't put food down your disposal, because all those food things, they wind up sticking to the sides of the pipes and then it... So don't use the disposal. So anyway, so he said, what I want you to do after I had it rotted out, he said, a couple times a day, I want you to fill up both sinks with the hottest water you can get out of your faucet, and then let both of them go at the same time and run the disposal so the hot water is forced down the thing. So I did that a couple times. And one time when I did it, I started to run the water, and I thought, oh, I'm going to go get that load out of the dryer. And then I remembered when I went to the kitchen to get a snack or something and saw 1/2 inch of water all over the floor, that the, you know, water continued to run and it was spilling out of the sink.
Yeah.
And I just, I've also had a couple issues. 312-981-7200. Please make me feel better with your own personal stories of things you began and then forgot, in which case water was pouring in your kitchen or something was burning on the stove or you had put a load through the dryer about 6 times because every time you forgot to go back and get stuff out before it was all wrinkled.
Okay, so I just had a forgetfulness prevention thing.
Oh, okay.
Which is my phone is, the battery was down. I didn't plug it in last night. And it wasn't that I forgot. I just thought it had more juice in it. And I woke up this morning and I thought, oh, damn. And so I brought my jack because I don't have a car jack. I don't know why. So I put it into the wall here. You can see it over there, lying there, charging up my mm-hmm. little phone. But I have a big lettered note to myself before walking out of here when I go to get my purse.
So you won't forget phone. Your phone in the charger.
Right.
Okay.
That's
right.
Not funny, Bob. That was like
Bob's
so
much younger.
Mean.
Bob is much younger.
Where do you
than
see
that.
The notes you write yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So 312-981-7200, give us a call, send us a text. Have you done anything like me where you forgot the sugar water boiling on the stove or forgot that you had hot water running in the sink with the sink closed up? So it was just filling up and filling up. And this is Jim. Hi, Jim. How do you relate?
Well, the thing I do, and I did it yesterday again, is I forget if I wash my hair or not.
You mean while in the shower, if you started
yes,
with washing
yes.
your... Yeah.
You're
yes,
in the shower and you go, did I wash my hair?
Already.
Yes, yes.
So,
and a thing I do every day to just to keep my mind sharp, and you can do whatever you want. You can, like, maybe go through your mind the Academy Award Best Picture every year, or all the World Series winners or all the presidents or whatever.
Oh, crap. I couldn't even remember who Bush ran against. So, yeah.
Wait, Jim, what was the Academy Award winner?
No, I'm just saying. No, I don't do the Academy Award winner.
Oh, that isn't your deal.
Pick one thing. I know all the World Series winners. That I do once a day. It takes 5 minutes. Just go through your mind, and you can do whatever. Like I say, presidents, movie winners, whatever. You know, whatever you like to do it. It just takes, but you got to concentrate for like 5 minutes. And it helps me. Of course, I still don't know if I washed my hair or not.
I think to be safe, it's always a good idea to do it again in case you forgot.
That's exactly true.
What we're talking about. Thank you, Jim.
You bet.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
And I definitely want to talk to Lori because she shares this with me. Yes, Lori.
Hi.
Hi.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Kathy, we're in the same age group, and I've done the same thing with the hummingbird food that boiled it almost dry.
Right.
I left water on in the basement when I went to do laundry. I left it in the laundry tub and got a phone call, went upstairs, and came back like a half hour later to take laundry out, and the water still running.
Pouring over the side.
No, fortunately, it didn't pour over the side. The tub wasn't blocked.
Oh, okay.
But I think what it is that we try to do too much at one time instead of concentrating on the thing we're doing and getting that finished first.
Yeah, or I don't know. It seems to me that I did stuff like that when I was younger as well. But I think we're just all so hyper aware at this age. Is this a sign?
It's
is
true.
This a
you
sign?
Do think about
right.
It.
Yeah. This is it. Don't tell my kids. Right.
Okay,
Lori. Thank you, Lori. It's
very interesting how protective you get.
Of yourself. Right.
I don't always tell Tom if I, you know, can't
you do
find
something. Right, exactly.
But I did remember this morning where I left the phone that was uncharged, and I visualized, when did I see it last? And I remember I put it on this unusual place, and I walked right to the place, and it was there. It was a small victory, consider it a victory.
One less day in the home.
Yeah.
Hey, Sally, what did you do this morning?
Well, I got up, looked at the clock, and thought, oh, I got to hurry up. I went to put my, got my toiletry done, put my makeup on, did my hair, dressed in nice clothes, rushed out to the family room, and my son-in-law says, where are you going all dressed up? And I said, well, I'm going to church. He said, it's Saturday.
Now what are you going to do? You're all dressed up.
Welcome. I don't know. That's what I said. I'm all dressed up with nowhere to go.
Thank you, Sally. 312-981-7200. Please tell us we're not the only ones that do these things.
Sweet, sweet memories you
take. I'm copping to the fact that I've had a couple of incidents where I forgot that I had stuff in the dryer that I was trying to de-wrinkle, or that I had a sugar water on the stove for the hummingbirds, and always with tragic consequences. And our girlfriends are helping us to feel a little bit better. This is Cynthia. Hey, Cynthia.
Hi.
What did you do?
Well, one morning when I was getting ready for work and anxious to leave, my son said to me, Mom, could you take me to school this morning? And I just, like, get in the car, I'm going to be late. And he got in the car, and we went to the high school, and it was kind of a circle drive. I drove right around the circle, right out to the stoplight again, and he says, Mom, what are we doing? I never dropped him off.
I'm busy, okay?
Just swinging through the circle. You're gone.
Short one if you have time.
There you go. No love like mother love, right, Cynthia?
Yeah.
Thanks. This is Carol. Hi. This is not you, but your neighbor.
Hi, yes.
Hi, Carol. What'd your neighbor do?
Well, she came running out of the house screaming, my nipples are burning, my nipples are burning. And I'm like, what? She said, come quick. And this was like 35 years ago when you used to boil the bottles and the baby nipples. And she had left them in the water again, went ahead and probably took care of one of the babies, and came back and the water had boiled off and all this black smoke.
Her nipples were burned.
And the nipples were burning.
Okay, so if she had babies, she certainly wasn't in her 70s. So we can take some consolation from that.
Yeah.
Thanks, right. Thanks,
well,
Carol.
Mothers are slightly burdened. They have a lot to think
yeah.
about.
Yeah. This is Fran. Hi, Fran.
Hi. What I do is I'll put water in a pot when I'm cooking potatoes for mashed potatoes,
uh-huh.
and then I forget about it. And the next thing I know, what's that smell? It's, oh, my God, not again.
It's the potatoes.
Or else what my other one, this one scares me, is I'll come by the stove and say, gee, it's awful warm here. I leave the burner on. Could you put it down so low? And I says, what's that blue thing? It's the flame is still on. I'm like, oh, my. But my favorite one is I need my coffee in the morning, and I do the Mr. Coffee thing, and I hit the button. Then when it's done, I go pick up the craft, and it's that super decaf crystal clear coffee.
I don't get it. Oh, you forgot to put the coffee in.
The little thing in.
There you go. And your age is, Fran?
I'm 68 years of age.
Oh,
okay,
welcome to the category.
Thank you. This is Pat. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi, what did you do?
Well, it was some years ago, and I had put some laundry in the dryer to be dried, and I'm hearing this noise, and I said to my husband, did someone throw an old shoe in there or something? He said, no, so I opened the dryer, and there's the cat.
Okay.
The cat is going round and round.
The cat was probably in there before you put the laundry in.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But the cat got out, and he was so dizzy.
And pissed off, right?
So dizzy. And then I love to read, so I do that every chance I get. So I put on a dozen eggs to boil to make hard-boiled eggs, and I go off, and I'm reading, and I hear it sounded like cannons were exploding in the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right, now this is hilarious. This is hilarious.
A dozen legs exploded.
You can relate to this text. Thank you, Pat. This text from our girlfriend Joyce. I put eggs on to boil and went to the train to pick up my husband. You should have seen the look on the dog's face when we got home. It must have seemed like a war zone. Eggs all over the floor, ceiling, and walls. I was 30. Thank you,
Yay.
Joyce. Thank you for that. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Kathy, Judy. How are you guys?
All right.
Good. What's
your deal?
Well, we had a handicapped accessible bathtub in the house that I grew up with. And it basically looked like an upside down garage door that was supposed to seal when it was filled with water.
Okay, and so it pulls up from the bottom.
Pulls up from the bottom.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, apparently the seal wasn't working properly. And it did fill up with water. It held water. The trouble is, when you went to go drain it after you're through with your bath, the seal didn't hold. And all the water in the bathtub drained down into the basement and all over the bathroom floor. It was terrible. Hey, I lost ceiling tiles. And,
did insurance cover it?
No.
I have a question about those kinds of bathtubs. Does that mean when you're in those kinds of bathtubs that you have to let all the water drain out before you get out, right?
Why?
Most definitely, yeah.
Oh, well, if you have to use the little door, right.
That would be so freezing cold.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't fun. I remember one time Mom tumbled out of the bathtub, transferring to her wheelchair, and the floor
got
all
wet. We laughed and laughed.
Well, no, it wasn't funny because I slipped.
Oops. Oh, that was my bad.
Did you continue listening?
I'm sorry.
Well, punch it again. See if he's still there. Sometimes that happens.
Are you still there? No. I'm sorry.
Oh, we're
right.
Sorry.
Quickly, we'll go through these. This is Linda. Hey, Linda.
Yes, hello.
Hello, what did you do?
Well, I have this lifelong problem with locking or forgetting car keys. Mm-hmm. I locked my first two children in the car at various times, one time each. Thank God, only one time each. And had to call the police to get my car open.
At least you did it to both of them,
right.
So they didn't think you were playing favorites.
Yeah, I did.
Equally
the
abused.
The third one, I stopped doing it, thank God.
Oh, okay.
It was
right.
Very embarrassing and scary. And then lately, my mother was in the hospital over the summer, and
Did she fall out of the bathtub?
The way up to the... No.
Okay.
No, thank God.
When we laugh at the vision.
But she, I was there constantly visiting. You know, she was in for 18 days, and I went to the bathroom and put my purse and keys on the bathroom door and went up and visited her for 3 or 4 hours and went to leave. Where's my keys? I left them on the door in the bathroom. I had to track them down, find the security people, describe my keys, and they had to shuttle me over, because it was a big hospital, to where my keys were. And it's like, will I ever get over this? I'm just forever forgetting my keys.
And your age is, Linda? Crazy.
But she's been doing
I'm in my mid-60s, but I was doing this when I was in my 30s with my kids.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Linda.
Sure.
This is Christine. Christine?
Hello.
Hello.
I had recently given birth. We were about to a one and only child in my, I had turned 40. And this was a hard won birth. Only going to do it once. And we leave the house. We're downstairs at our car. We have our keys. We have our wallets. We have our phones. Where's the baby?
Where was the baby?
The baby was in the basket, right? The basket that you put in the car.
Uh-huh.
In the middle of the dining room table.
Nice centerpiece.
But she hadn't moved, right?
No, she hadn't moved.
Okay.
But it was just one of those things. And so we add it to our list of things to remember to do.
Is to bring the baby.
Bring the baby.
Phone baby.
Exactly. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
Of our girlfriends texted us a picture of a note that she has in her car. It says, it's right by the steering wheel. Keys, lunch, phone, cord.
That sounds like
I would die for you, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Very 80s.
I don't know that song. Is that an 80s?
I think it is.
Should have been paying attention.
Is it, Bob? Is that I would die for you?
Yeah, I
would
so.
Die for you.
I heard a little of Norah Jones.
Oh,
new album
I heard
this
it
morning,
too.
And I thought, it doesn't make me want to buy the album.
Oh, and it made me want to.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she's really juicy. She's I love her voice.
No, she sounded. I can't say like a girl, Leonard Cohen. I don't know what just happened to my voice.
I remember the first time I heard her, I was in the Unabridged Books on Clark Street. Was it Clark Street? No.
Doesn't matter.
It was something else.
Keep going.
Anyway, Broadway. And I listened to this voice, and this would have been in the 90s or maybe shortly after the 90s. And I went to the guy, I said, who is this? And he pulled out the CD and he said, her name is Norah Jones. I got myself down to the record store.
Remember them?
Yeah, as fast as I could, and bought her CD. And I just, since then, have always.
Those
have always
are really melodic, good songs.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the songs that, anyway, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Just listening to the music. So one of the topic that I promote for this week, and I have been wanting to get to it for a while, is there a word that is used continually in our current lexicon that just drives you up a wall? And mine is mindful. And I turn on my phone. I was going to load some information into the health data area, and there are quadrants. One is activity, one is nutrition, one is sleep, and one is mindfulness. I also saw a story that was linked to something somebody sent me on Facebook. I didn't pop it open, but it was how to be mindful at a stoplight. I hate the word mindful.
You probably won't want to listen to Krista Tippett that much then.
I do like Krista Tippett, but
I think she uses that word a lot.
What did we used to say? I think it's like pay attention to.
Yeah.
I mean, are you supposed to bliss out with mindful? You're supposed to just listen to yourself.
Does it just basically mean being aware of the now, of the here, of the... I am mindful of
like
what is going on
be
around
be mindful
me.
When you're crossing the street. Well, are you supposed to zone
better.
Out,
yeah,
or
right.
are you trying not to get killed by
right.
a car?
Yeah.
I don't know, but I don't like it. And I just thought there were...
You know which one drives me crazy?
Huh.
And it's applied to every freaking thing.
Our number is, wait, 312-961-7200.
Don't call 961. They're tired of getting our calls.
No, because my glasses weren't on.
We should call it, though. I wonder who would pick up.
Go ahead, Sam. Do that for us.
I'll let you guys know.
All right. 312-981-7200.
Words that drive you crazy, that get used over and okay. over. I'm second place is transformative.
Oh, okay. And mine is journey.
Oh, journey.
Everything's a damn journey. You know, I'm on my journey to mindfulness. it's not big.
It's a transformative
journey. It's the
journey,
not the destination. Well, actually, I was hoping to get to Bloomington, but all right. I'll be real excited about this journey driving down 80. Yeah, it's 312-981-7200. I know Steve Bertrand's word is moist.
I think that's the most detested word. I read a story about this moist, a couple months
yeah,
ago. Yeah,
right.
And I don't know what's the matter with that.
This is Donald. Hey, Donald, what's the word that makes you crazy?
Really crazy is whatever, because I look at whatever as a rude word for dismissal of a good conversation.
Oh, you'll say something and then the other person will say, "What? Whatever."
Right, or whether out of anger or frustration, it's whatever. I mean, it's a rude word for dismissal. Oh, I'm done with this. Whatever.
Yeah, good point.
I think that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Donald.
Well,
on the text line. On the text line. Transparency, closure.
Closure. Both of us hate.
Blessed, and went missing.
Instead,
what did we say before? Somebody went missing.
They were missing.
Right, or they disappeared.
Patty Hearst was missing.
Right. Reach out. This is Frank. Hey, Frank.
Hi, good morning, girls.
Good morning. What word makes you crazy?
Well, when people have several points to make, and the first point they say first of all, and then they say second of all. It just sounds out of place. It should be secondly, not
that's not right in grammar. It's for if you say, I've got several reasons, and if somebody says
firstly,
no, if they say firstly, then it's secondly.
How about if, okay, how about if they say first of all, and then
second
of all?
No, they should say second.
I don't think I ever heard that rule in grammar. It just doesn't sound correct.
Okay.
When somebody says the word second of all, instead of just saying secondly.
Okay, well, that makes Frank crazy, and you're entitled to that, Frank.
Exactly.
All right.
You know, longtime listener, and every once in a while, something gets my goat. There's another word.
Gets my
goat.
There
you go. Thanks, Frank.
You want to hear a cool grammar thing?
Sure.
Okay, so there, in quotes, it said, yesterday's headline said, Trump accuses Clinton of false smears. Well, smears are negative, and if they're false, that's negative, and that's a positive.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, boy. That's dissembling. Am I using that word correctly? What does dissembling mean?
If you're doing to correct me, no, you're not.
312-981-7200. It makes Judy crazy when people say
mindful.
And it makes me crazy when people constantly refer to journey. And this is Tom. What makes you crazy? Hi, Tom.
Well, I don't know how it evolved that the response to thank you has become no problem as opposed to you're welcome. But it's just one of those things that seems rude.
And on interviews, almost 100%. Thank you for being with us today. Oh, thank you for having me. Every now and again, you'll hear somebody say, you're welcome, but not often.
Europeans solve this by saying pleasure. Or it's my pleasure to have been with you.
Okay.
But the response to thank you on the on TV interviews, yes, is thank you. Oh, thank you. Well, thank you. No, thank you.
Thank you. No, I want to thank you more. Right. There you go, Tom.
Through the screen, you know.
All right. Anyway. Thank you for calling, Tom.
You're entirely welcome. By the way, I'm one of the first girlfriends, but that goes back a few years.
Yes, it does.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Yes, it does. Thank you. 312-981-7200. I got the last one in. 981-7200. Back with more of your calls about the word that makes you crazy.
Kathy and Judy back, and we are talking about a word you wish you could blast out of the lexicon, the current lexicon. And this is Scott. Scott?
Hey, how are you, Daddy Judy?
Hi, good. Scott.
Hi. What really irks me is when I hear announcers say so-and-so is doubling down. He's doubled down on his criticism.
And what does that generally mean? That they've just amped it up? Which is probably another...
I think that's from gambling, being in a casino. But all of a sudden, everyone says so-and-so has doubled down.
So they're using it to mean not only are they holding their ground, but they're going a step further.
I guess. It's just really annoying.
Okay. And you think it's overused?
Oh, overused incredibly.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Scott.
And this is Nancy. Hi.
Hi, Nancy.
Hi. If I hear another millennial grocery clerk tell me to have a good one, I'm going to vomit.
the one that I'm hearing more and more is have a blessed day. And blessed is one of the words that's coming up a lot on the text line. Have a blessed day. Okay, I'm working on it. All right, Nancy, have a good one.
You too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, thanks. You too.
Okay, now, Jim.
Jim,
you have an interesting word that bothers you, and it's troubling to me. I don't know. Tell us the word.
Well, first of all, I love you guys so much.
Thank you.
I am your biggest fan in Indiana.
Oh, bless your heart. Thank you.
It's not really a word I want to see getting rid of. The mispronunciation of a good word that drives me insane.
What is that word?
They're trying to say idea, IDEA,
mm-hmm.
And they put an R on the end of it, idea.
Oh, that's people from Boston, I think.
No, that's around here, too, trust me.
Oh, is it? I've got an idea.
And isn't that crazy? And when they do that, I want to stop. All right, spell that word.
I wonder if that's an Indiana thing. I don't hear that here that much.
I don't either. But I think also I have heard people use that word.
Idea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily in Chicago, but, you know, even like... This is going really far back. Gabby Hayes, he would say, "I dear."
I got on.
I
got
like a cowboy thing.
Yeah, Jim.
Well,
thanks.
I think that was on purpose.
Yeah,
right.
Oh, well, sure.
For the content of the show.
Thanks for holding down the girlfriend fort in Indiana.
Say that again.
I said, "Thanks for holding down the girlfriend fort in Indiana."
And I'm doing the best I can.
Okay.
You guys are the greatest.
Good job, Jim. And this is
Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you girls doing today?
Good, thank you.
We're having a good one.
Good. Well, the word that's been bugging me lately, and it's because I'm a sports fan and I listen to sports, all of these different sportscasters are using the word magical. It's a magical season. He's having a magical game. I'm like, what's magic about baseball? Nothing.
They just did better.
It's like, oh, my gosh. Disney World is magical.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Okay.
Right. Magicians are magical.
That's true.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's been a magical moment with you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay.
Or it's been awesome, or it's been blessed. Those are words that keep coming up. Jack.
Yeah. I got two words. One of them is iconic. I think everything is now iconic and in the last 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't want to comment on local people, but it aggravates me when the weather people give the report and they talk about the temps.
Oh, I've never noticed that.
Rather than the temperature.
Watch Channel 7 News. Nothing is the temperature anymore.
Good thing you didn't say
anything. It's always the temps.
The temps are going up, you know.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Jack.
And I don't want to...
Yeah.
I don't want to keep repeating, but I enjoy you ladies also.
Oh,
you may repeat that as much as you want. Thank you, Jack.
Well, okay,
we appreciate it. This is Mary. Hi,
hey, Mary.
Hi. Hello. The word that I really hate is the word impact, because that was always a noun until somebody turned it into a verb. It used to be like, let's have an impact on the world, and now it's let's impact the world.
No, I think it's always been a verb, Mary.
Has it?
Yeah.
No. It was
it's a transitive verb.
I'm kind of with Mary. I always thought it was the impact was, you know, mind-blowing or the impact.
Oh, and the ad campaign impacted sales enormously.
Yes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Okay, so that makes you a little crazy.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, thanks, Mary. And the person who hated the using temp instead of temperature can probably relate to Cammy. Hi, Cammy.
Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I'm calling more about my husband. He absolutely despises the shortened word of legitimate, where people will say, "Well, that's legit." Well, that's pretty legit. He just it just honks him off. He would prefer, it's legitimate.
That's funny because I don't hear that in regular discourse at all. But I would think of it in terms of Nathan Detroit or something.
Well,
in
what
Guys
was
and
the
Dolls.
Year? What was the year for the song "Too Legit to Quit"? What was that? Would have that been 2003 or something like that, or maybe in the '90s?
Possibly.
Too legit to quit. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Cammy.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. The word that makes you crazy. This is Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hi. The word that drives me crazy is absolutely.
I overuse that.
Good example of that was Mr. This morning was talking to a guest, and she used the word absolutely at least probably 20 times every time he says something. The answer was, and she'd double
absolutely.
Up. She would say, absolutely.
What about this one, Mike? What
I'm
about when people say,
myself.
What about when people say, perfect? It's like you give your name and address to somebody on the phone because you're ordering something.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Oh, perfect. Or
well,
awesome.
It's perfect if you want to reach me,
right.
But it's not perfect in general.
or when a thank you, Mike, or when a server at a restaurant feels compelled to comment on your order. Yeah, I'd like the salmon with wild rice. Awesome. Well, it's salmon with wild rice. Right. And finally, this is Frank. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, how are you today?
We're good, thank you. We're awesome.
What drives me really nuts is the word when people begin a sentence with "so." I hear it all the time on WGN and reports and that when they're talking to people, they start, "so this is happening today. So I'm going here tomorrow."
I think that's very, I think
very
that's
colloquial.
Very much of the time, right?
Yeah,
that like.
So I'm standing in the grocery store.
Exactly.
If you tell a story, and you know, if you listen to any of the storytelling shows that are on different stations, they almost inevitably open up with
so
I'm 5 years old.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
Sure. You're welcome.
And
bye
thanks
now.
To all of you. Have a blessed day. Kathy and Judy back. I remember many, many years ago, before we got fired, somewhere in that first 20 years, one of the most moving topics we ever had was when I believe it was Gloria Steinem and several other high-profile women came out and said, "I have had an abortion." And we asked our girlfriends if they would be willing to do that, and many of them were. Call in and say, "I have had an abortion." And it wasn't necessarily about whether it was right or wrong or whatever, but just to say that this is not something that only is part of the life of those people. It's, you probably know women who have had an abortion. And the current climate obviously has women now, particularly this week, being willing to step up and say, "I have been sexually assaulted." And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have been raped, because intercourse is not the only way that you can be assaulted. And many of the women who are coming forward saying they have been sexually assaulted are referring to someone using their hands to touch a part of their body that they have no right to touch or reach for. And Darlene Glanton in the Tribune yesterday wrote a story about her sexual assault. And she was talking about being so emotionally rattled this week because it brought her sexual assault back.
Mm-hmm.
And she was talking about having had a date with a guy that she didn't know, but he was a friend of a friend. And after afterwards. She said, before I knew it, he was all over me, kissing me when I didn't want to be kissed, touching me when I didn't want to be touched. I began crying hysterically, loudly, and suddenly, almost as quickly as he had pounced, he abruptly stopped. Maybe he feared that someone might hear me. Maybe he thought about how angry his cousin would be. Maybe he simply realized that he was wrong. This was, for Darlene, a period of probably 5 minutes when she was much younger. And still, the assault is crystal clear in her mind. And I just wonder, for our girlfriends, how many of them this week have been brought back to a time when they too were assaulted, when a stranger on a bus assaulted you, and you just, holy smokes, what just happened there? Or even somebody that you knew began to do that, and you had to say, no, not acceptable, stop it. And I would just be interested to hear from some of our girlfriends who have been struck by that this week or whose memories have been jogged this week. And I think one of the things that happens when this happens and when somebody says, this happened to me, people say, well, why didn't you say something? Why didn't you tell somebody? And sometimes, and certainly in the current climate, there is a sense of who would believe me, and particularly when the person who assaulted you is more powerful.
Right.
Who would believe me? Maybe I asked for it. I heard a woman this week who was talking about sexual assault. And she said, and I thought, well, I did have on a mini skirt. Really? Mm. That's a reason for someone to think they can take their hand and rub it up your leg to your crotch? And the third one was, I can't remember. But it was good. It was really good. So 312-981-7200, if some kind of sexual assault, and I was going to say minor or major, they're all major. Nobody has a right to touch your body in a place or in any manner without your permission. And this is, Jude?
Well, it happened to me.
Okay.
And I told it before.
Okay.
In fourth grade at Sunday school. And we were called into the cloakroom, and Mr. Feldman was going to tell us our grade mm-hmm. for Sunday school. And I imagine as other girls went through there.
You think he did it not only to you, but to others?
Yeah, I don't think I was singled out.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So you went into the cloakroom with your teacher in Sunday school.
Yeah, and he touched me in my genitalia.
Right.
And I knew it was wrong. I mean, he was an authority figure for me, but I knew it was wrong, but I absolutely did not tell anybody.
Right. And it's hard to explain that, but it seems to be a very common reaction. I didn't tell, because there's a certain element of shame that, this was a bad thing that I let happen. And it's just kind of a universal response.
I never thought I caused it.
Okay. Rhonda?
Hi.
Hi.
This happened to me. I just turned you on. This happened to me when I was 13 years old. I was doing a newspaper route in my neighborhood. And I remember that morning I had put on a pair of shorts. And they were short. And I thought, I look good in these. You know, I was 13 years old, okay, kind of coming into your own. And my girlfriend and I were doing a newspaper route. She was on one side of the street. I was on the other. This guy drove by, probably late teens, early 20s, on a 10-speed bike, drove past me. I got a weird feeling like, he doesn't seem like somebody I want to be around. And I was reaching down into that, like, those old lady, you know, grocery cart that you kept your newspapers
right.
in. And I'm leaning over. I did not see him coming back. And as I'm leaning over, he grabbed my shirt and he got a hold of the back of my bra and he just ripped the bra right off of me. I mean, it literally busted in the front. And I was just so shook up. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. My girlfriend saw it happen. And he rode off, and I remember him turning around with this, like, grin on his face, like, ha-ha, you know. And he looked like just, I can visualize him to this day.
You can? Like, oh, awful.
Yeah.
Like, 37 years later, I can still see him.
Right, and so it's crystal clear. Right.
I felt such immediate shame, like I did something wrong. I never told anyone. My girlfriend was the only one who saw it. Later on that summer, I was driving around on my bike, and I saw him in my neighborhood. I got home so fast. It wasn't until I was in my 30s that I shared this experience with my mom. And that you hear it all the time, that when something happens, the woman feels shame, and you read and you think, why would they feel shame? You know, why would they think it's their fault? I don't know why, but you do. You feel like you did something wrong. I felt so dirty. I just felt, oh, it makes my skin crawl when I think about it.
Now, has right. this week been hard for you? Or is it always in the forefront of your mind, or did this bring it more to the
you
forefront?
You know what? It's always in the forefront of my mind. I'm very guarded. I was always very guarded when dating. I didn't date a lot. My husband, who I'm married to, I felt comfortable with from the get-go. And I don't even think I've ever told him, honestly. But I've even to this day, like when I'm in situations like on elevators, when I'm in rooms with people that I don't know, like waiting, I'm very aware, like, don't get too close to me.
Right, protect yourself.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it really imprinted itself on your life.
Yeah.
I think I focus on, you know, being harmed probably more than most people do.
Or more than you think is probably healthy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's easy to see why. Rhonda, thank you for kicking this conversation off.
No problem. Thank
you. Okay. Take care. 312-981-7200 is our number. We'll be back with your calls. A lot of calls and a lot of texts. About how this week for people who have been victims of sexual assault, it's just all coming back. Kathy and Judy back. We're just taking calls from some of our girlfriends. Before we do that, now, Sam, did you ever check 312-961, that number that you said, well, you were going to check and find out if... Well, I think Sam's busy doing sports things. We threw out a bad number earlier. Yeah, we threw out a bad number earlier, and Sam was going to check for us on that. Hey, Sam, you there, hon? Sam?
No, he's sporting.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just looking. Sam?
I'm sorry. I was checking in on some other stuff.
Were you actually doing sports work?
Yes.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
College football starts at 11. There's like 20 games on.
Did you check that phone number?
No, I didn't.
If you have a chance, could you check that phone number and find out who it is?
It's 916, right? 7200?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll call right now.
All right, check it out.
All righty.
All right, we're just talking about...
No, it's 961.
Oh, 961, right.
Yeah.
I know my own mistakes.
312-981-7200 is our number for calls
and
for
texts. Oh,
now
this poor person, we've been blasting his number all over.
We don't know if it's even a person. All right, we're just talking about whether or not this week has been particularly difficult for people who have been sexually assaulted.
And the lines are completely full.
Yeah, the lines are jammed, and the text lines are jammed. And let's go with people who have been waiting the longest. Hey, Jerry.
Oh, hi.
Hi. This week was tough for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had three episodes in my life that something like that happened to me. My girlfriend and I went to the show, and we were about 10 years old. And we stayed for a second movie, and all of a sudden this older guy came and sat next to me, and it was okay. And then a couple minutes later, his hand reached over to my leg. And I turned to my girlfriend and said, let's get out of here. And I told her what happened, but I never told my parents. And then again, I was about 10 years old, and my parents set me up for a babysitting job that was right three houses away. And it was upstairs, young couple, two babies, and they left. And then the young man came back and went into a room.
Oh,
Jerry, I pressed no buttons.
Okay.
I'm going to put Jerry on hold. We were not sure why she cut out there. Hey, Barb.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes.
What happened?
Hello.
Hi.
Barb?
Hello.
All right. We're not exactly sure what's going on with the phones. People don't seem to be able to hear us. Cindy, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay. What was your story?
I'm kind of nervous because this is really hard for me to talk about. But I have a best friend. I'm from Rockford, and I have a best friend in Chicago, in the suburbs. And we've been friends since we were in kindergarten. And I moved away to Rockford, and I stayed friends with her. I was in her wedding. She was in my wedding. Before I got married to my first husband, I had them up to Rockford, and her husband on three different occasions sexually assaulted me three times in a different room.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love for her or somebody she knows. I've written her notes.
You told her?
No. I never told her. I didn't tell her when it happened. The first time it happened, they were in my apartment, and I gave them my bed. It was a one-bedroom small apartment, and I slept on the sofa, and in the middle of the night, he was on top of me.
Oh, my God.
Doing the you know what.
Yeah.
And I just pretended I was asleep and pushed him off me, and that was enough, but she's not the kind of person that I could ever tell.
Are you still friends with her?
No. She's cut off all contact. I invited her to my second marriage. My first marriage didn't work out, and I didn't invite her husband. And I know that could be the reason that she doesn't talk to me anymore.
I'm sure that is. Yeah, right.
She's the kind of person that I could never tell because she would turn it around.
Well, how could you?
Oh, that you would ask for it.
She would turn it around and say it never happened.
Right.
Oh,
she
right.
She would leave her husband.
Yeah.
And to this day, it hurts me so bad that she hasn't contacted me, and she was my very best friend, and she still is.
Is she still married to the man who assaulted you?
I believe she is.
Yeah, that would be a tough one.
I told another girlfriend of hers, and she said that she became friends with her when I left for Rockford, and the other friend told me that she knew he was a dog when they got married. But
yeah, well, these are the kinds of stories that we're hearing over and over. Cindy, thank you for sharing yours.
It's just hurtful to me.
I'll bet.
Her initials are JC.
Oh, wait. We're not necessarily going to do that. If you don't want to do it directly, this is probably not a great way to do it. Let's take care of a little bit of business, and we'll be back after this. Glee, before we chat with Amy Guth, you probably received in the mail a booklet from Jesse White, Proposed Amendment to the Illinois Constitution. When you go to vote on November 8th, and we're hoping you all do, you should be familiar with this amendment. Basically, the bottom line is it's saying all the money that's brought in because of taxes or fees related to vehicle operation is designated for road stuff. And it's basically saying that's the only way that it can be used. The legislature can't say, oh, we're going to use this for something else. So read the little blue booklet that Jesse White.
What's the number?
The proposed amendment to the Constitution. It's the only one that's going to be on the ballot. Right.